through 6.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview with Rabbi Yosef Kushner, who has just written a book, Commerce and Shabbos, Modern Interpretations for Dealing with High-Tech, the Business World. This is just brand new, out from Feldheim Publishers. We have an eclectic assortment of Hanukkah music. Is everything? Let me just look at my playlist. Is everything Hanukkah? We started out with a reggae Hanukkah. We have a klezmer Hanukkah. We have a folksy Hanukkah. And we have a rock and roll Hanukkah. Yes, indeed. So everything's all Hanukkah music, but different types for your enjoyment. We have an awesome Hasidic story. The portion of the week is the portion of me case. We might just skip that and talk about Hanukkah altogether before we do anything else. Let's go right to the news. Mortar shells were fired from the Gaza city of Khan Yunis. The IAF responded by blowing up a weapons factory and two tunnels in Gaza. No one was hurt on either side. Israel's Northern Command is looking for signs that Hezbollah made a tunnel connecting southern Lebanon with northern Israel, the same way Hamas makes tunnels between Gaza and southern Israel. Israel is following up on information it received about the possible tunnel. Hamas leaders in Israel are petitioning the Israeli electric company to increase the amount of electricity it supplies to Gaza. Gaza's main electric generator was shut down 3 weeks ago because Egypt stopped supplying fuel to Gaza. Israel already supplies Gaza with one-third of its electric needs. In a joint operation with the U.S. military, Israel's Missile Corps successfully tested the David's Sling missile system. The system has new technology that no other system has. The David's Sling is designed to defend against mid-range missiles. It fills the gap of the Arrow long-range system and the Iron Dome short-range defense mechanism. Brooklyn police say that over 9 attacks against local Jews, this is Brooklyn, New York. Police say that over nine attacks against local Jews have been reported within the last 2.5 months. Many of them appear to be similar and based on what police is saying is a game being played out by local gangs of beating up Jews. The Brooklyn DA opened a hate crime file on the attacks. Several people have been arrested already in this. Hoda Nono, you may remember her, she's a Jewish woman who serves as Bahrain's U.S. ambassador since 2008. She was here on the Jewish Hour a bunch of years ago, is returning to Bahrain. Nono is returning to Bahrain to work in its foreign ministry. The U.S. Fifth Fleet happens to be located in Bahrain. Archaeologists in Israel discovered a 3,700-year-old wine cellar in the Judean hills. The cellar is believed to be that of a Canaanite palace. 14 containers were found the size of wine barrels. Residue in the barrels suggests white and red varieties, as well as mint, cinnamon, and juniper. Ooh, must have been really good stuff. And finally, if we're going to put this into let's hear it for Israeli technology. How could we have ever come so far without this? You listening, Ben? Listen to this one. Israel is the first country to sell 3D printed underwear. You've heard of those 3D printers? Yep. The undergarments made by Tamarware are made of a unique synthetic fiber called Cozy Flex. The 3D printers can turn out a pair of underwear in 3 seconds. 10 million pairs are expected to be sold in the first year. And I can't wait to get a pair. Not. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herr Schulfenman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Yosef Kushner, who's written a book called Commerce and Shabbos, The Laws of Shabbos as They Apply to Today's High-Tech Business World. How are you today, Rabbi Kushner?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Thank you for having me, Rabbi Finman.
It is indeed my pleasure. This is an awesome book. I like this book very much, just to tell you. We give this book two thumbs up just before we even start. The idea of the premise of the book is like the internet and high-tech things going on, transactions involving computers. The Shabbos, the laws of the Shabbos, let's back up and explain for people that don't know about Jewish law. The laws about the Shabbos came up 3,300 years ago. I would probably make a fair wager that the word computer doesn't appear anywhere in the Talmud. Would that be a correct assessment, Rabbi Kushner?
Yes, that would be correct.
So how is it possible then to formulate some sort of Jewish law involving a computer, electricity, the internet, all this modern stuff with which is just now coming light and is being invented?
That's an excellent question. And at first, you know, it does appear a little daunting. But the truth is that that's only, it's a mirage. We know that the Torah is timeless and it's eternal. And the laws that govern the laws of Shabbos, which is our day of rest, they're broken down into activities which are prohibited, and those are called malachis. And at the heart of technology is electricity. And at the heart of electricity are certain dynamics that can be defined to these activities, such as when we say you can't kindle a fire, so that has already been defined to be including electricity by early rabbis. This is nothing to do with the book. Electricity has been long defined to be part of the activities that the Torah forbids a person to engage during a day of rest, which is Shabbos.
Okay.
And we know that Shabbos for the Jewish people is the day of rest. It's a day of spiritual focus. It's a day of growth, and the Torah tells us that there are certain malachas you can't engage in, and including in that is if you can't, for example, let's say you can't build. You can't build on Shabbos. Including in that is you can't have a Gentile build for you. So and most people are familiar with these concepts, but the premise of the book is that with high tech commerce world, which is not just limited to electricity and technology. Technology obviously is a tremendous part of it, but it includes everything. It includes the way, for example, hotels are run, nursing homes are run, real estate is managed. Just the way business is done today with kind of the constant cycle, the 24/7 cycle, there are so many technical issues that are raised that there's kind of been a void in even from the rabbinical end to address these, because you have to really be aware of all the nuances to really address it. And that's really where the book comes in.
Okay, fantastic. Now, so let's discern the basis for some of the things that we're talking about, this idea of having work done. It's an interesting concept. Okay, so Jews have to rest. They have to refrain from doing malacha, doing any type of a work which is creative. But it says in the Torah, and a lot of people are very familiar with the Bible listening on this station, it says that you have to rest, your animals have to rest, your slave has to rest. The non-Jewish neighbor down the street who wants to do something for you, he doesn't say anything in the Bible about that.
Right, that's correct. So he doesn't have to rest. That's not a question. He does not have to rest. The only thing is that the Bible does say is, and the actual words is, Melacha lo ye'aseh, which means it should not be done. And what that means is, and you know, and the classic commentaries like Rashi, they, you know, right away they point that out, that from the way it's grammatically written, lo ye'aseh, you should not be done, as opposed to you should not do, it means it shouldn't be done for you. So even though a Gentile can do it, but on your end, you should not have work done for you. It's only on your end. It's not prohibiting the Gentile, but it's prohibiting the Jewish employer from having the work done by his employees.
Okay, so you have work that's done by employees. That's sort of like a where the question arises. So we have the idea of what, for example, a cleaning lady can do for a person on Shabbos. That's already discussed because 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, people had cleaning ladies. I'm not so sure about in the shtetl, because like my grandmothers used to say that they had a nice house, but every Pesach they would sweep out the old dirt and put new dirt on the floor. So I'm not sure about the cleaning ladies there. But but what if the thing is happening by itself? Which so many things that are happening on the internet, like for example, let's talk about automatic bill pay, for example. It's all set up by the computer. The machine is running. It doesn't say any place that my hammer can't do any work or my axe can't do any work. I could give my axe to somebody who's not Jewish, and just he wants to borrow it. And if he wants to use it on the Sabbath, then he's allowed to use it on the Sabbath. Why are where's the point of comparison now with, say, like a computer generated something? Are we comparing that to a person doing the work, or are we comparing that to a tool doing the work?
And that's a good question. And the truth is that you're not wrong, that many forms of internet commerce is not prohibited. And the point of this book is not to come and say everything being done online is prohibited. And to the contrary, a lot of what I write surprises people. In that it's not prohibited, and people have been very uncomfortable with certain elements of internet commerce, but this hasn't really been addressed straight on, and that's part of my book. We're addressing it is, for the most part, even I could even that's a little daring, but for the most part, internet commerce just being allowed to run on and of itself is not prohibited.
I feel very relieved now.
And you should know that's an answer I get often because people they meet me and they're like, I feel relieved. But with that said, there are many forms of commerce where people were kind of complacent, and they didn't dream that there might be a problem, but there is a problem. It's been an interesting experience where a lot of what people are uncomfortable with is actually not a problem for the reasons you just laid out, because, you know, a computer is not a person, and a computer is happening, and the Jewish people have air conditioners going on and off on Shabbos. You know, if it's set to a timer, it goes on, goes off, and that's fine. And obviously, the air conditioner is not Jewish, and the air conditioner is not a Gentile. The air conditioner is not a person. So it's just your items that are working, and that's not. I mean, I say working a little liberally, but your items are doing activities, but that's not a problem at all. The problem is really only when you have employees, Gentiles, that are working. And I say that a little generally. I mean, there are specific cases where there might be problems. But in a general sense, you are correct. If there's no Gentiles working for you, you usually will not have a problem. Now, that does not include all types of internet commerce, because a lot of websites do have call centers set up, you know, as a customer service management and stuff like that. And they might have IT departments that might even be overseas, and they're paying them per hour. And there are issues there, and that has to be addressed, and there are ways to circumvent that. But there are other forms of commerce, and I'll just lay out one, if I may.
Please, go ahead.
Let's say real estate management, okay? And a person has a building. And we're not talking about one unit. He has a building, meaning he has an apartment building, and it could be 30, 40, 50, 100 tenants. And he's going to have a super. Now, that super is going to have to be available to Shabbos, as well as Yom Tov, as well as the Jewish festivals, as an emergency maintenance, meaning even if his office is closed and you can't, like, maybe set up to see a vacant apartment, but there's going to be a worker that needs to be available. Now, how does that work? That's an employee of a Jewish person, and Jews are not allowed to have their employees instructed to do the work. On Shabbos or on Yom Tov, you know, on Saturday, on any festival. And this makes complications. And for the most part, you know, when people find out, you know, this is a problem, they're like, oh, I'm not the only one that has real estate. You know, they have a certain reflex react, a certain knee-jerk reaction that, you know, this is almost like a Jewish industry. What are you looking at me? But this is the way it is. And when you get into nursing homes and hotels, you can only imagine, you know, these are businesses that cannot close. I mean, if you tell a nursing home they have to only operate 6 days a week, that's a worthless nursing home. It's not going to work. So this poses serious problems to how a Jew would be able to at all involve himself in these industries. And obviously to say that, you know, that Orthodox Jews cannot be involved in the industries would be, you know, it's a resort that you can't take because, you know, people have to earn a living and life costs money. So this is really the premise of the book. Now, it's not, even though it kind of a selling point of the book is technology, because people are very interested in that. People are very interested to you know, what about e-commerce? What about internet? What about eBay? What about websites? But the truth is that the business world in general has taken a sort of taken technology, no matter as a way to run the businesses, no matter what. And also has taken on certain forms of how they do things, just certain forms of processes, and that has to be addressed. And for for the most part, you know, it's not something that, you know, rabbis are kind of trained to know. I don't know how to say this. They're just not. I mean, by definition, you know, the rabbinical division, they're trained to know what the Torah says. And what it says in the Bible and how it relates to us and the laws and everything like that. But the question is, if you don't understand how the businesses are run, then it's really very difficult to give a ruling. And that really is the point of the book Commerce and Shabbos.
Understood. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Rabbi Yosef Kushner, who's written a book called Commerce and Shabbos. It is published by Feldheim Publishing, a very reputable corporation. So a lot of the problems then really face more the business owner than just the consumer. Would you say that's correct, Yosef?
That is correct. That definitely is correct. The consumer usually does not face these problems. We do get questions from consumers, such as, you know, they bid on something on eBay, and then they realize that the eBay auction is ending on Shabbos. And so they, what do we do? What do we do? And inevitably they'll call the rabbi, and the rabbi might say, what's eBay? You know, but by and large, you are correct. It's more of a problem to people who have businesses.
Okay, indeed. I have a question which has been bothering me, which is sort of tongue-in-cheek, a little bit glib. But someone once explained to me that there's something called Hilchus Lottery, the laws of buying a lottery ticket.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And one of the things that this is tongue-in-cheek. One of the things he says, you only buy one ticket because if God wants you to win the lottery, then you only need to buy one ticket.
Right.
And then, of course, you don't pick out the numbers. You pick out, let the computer pick out the numbers because God's going to be the one supplying you with this number. And you don't buy a ticket if the lottery drawing is on Shabbos, because God could provide your sustenance not on a Shabbos. He wouldn't be doing this on Shabbos. Is there a problem with buying a ticket for a lottery that the drawing is on a Shabbos, on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or before Shabbos ends, because the person's not really picking up the money until after Shabbos anyway?
Right. Oh, you're like kind of putting me on the spot. I don't like to like rule on cases.
This is just point of discussion rather than an actual.
No, I understand. So that's my. I want to just preface, you know, before I am not. You know, everyone should ask their rabbi their opinion, but I think that it really would depend. It really would depend on when the lottery and the kind of. I don't know the process of how a lottery works. I know that when you pick it, when the drawing is, that's, you know, that's when officially you won. I understand that, but when does that? I'm assuming there probably is some sort of legal process after that, where the lottery actually validates the ticket, and they legally obligate themselves. Now, what does it mean they have to legally obligate it? what could go wrong? I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't know the rules of the lottery, but I assume, I do assume that there are people, you know, lottery people who are not even allowed to play the lottery. Maybe members of the lottery, members that are part of the lottery company, which is not a company, it's part of the government. But being that the legal obligation the lottery has to the person, and I'm taking a little liberty here, is probably a step past the actual winning of the lottery. If that would be the case, then there would not be a problem. And I'll give you an example. If you don't claim your ticket, that money's not yours. You can't come and say, well, what do you mean? It's my money. There's actually a process that goes to getting the money. Now, you have a right to get the money, but it's not your money. So I think we probably could agree that there is no transaction. There is no transaction that actually takes place on Shabbos. So what happens on Shabbos, on Saturday, is you earn the right to make a transaction and to legally obligate them. And like I said, I believe there's even a window of opportunity that if it goes by, you can't even claim it after.
Right, it's after a year, generally.
Okay, there you go. So now, what does that mean? It's my money. You can't steal my money. And the answer is, it's not your money yet. You have kind of a right to get the money. This is what I'm saying off the top of my head, if that solves you.
Okay, fair enough. It's the whole concept of laws involving lottery or somewhat, you know. But
right, and it's funny you ask that, because in a way it's similar to like to eBay. When you win on eBay, there is no transaction. There is no transaction. And what it is you enter into agreement to make a transaction. And eBay itself and the contracts are very clear about that, that you have to complete the sale. And by definition, that means that the sale has not been completed. And the reason why it's not been completed is because, obviously, you haven't paid for it and you haven't received anything. And therefore, for that reason alone, the Jewish law would not prohibit someone to simply win an auction. Now, there might be exceptions to that. If you would sell on eBay, and you would end the sale on Shabbos, meaning the auction is timed to end on Shabbos, and you would write that you require immediate payment. So that might be a problem, because this is not just you and him kind of having an agreement to make a transaction. You're actually mandating the transaction to happen on Shabbos, and that's a problem. And when I say it's a problem, I mean you should speak to your rabbi about you know how to go about doing that. But that's, I'm just kind of bringing awareness that might be a problem.
Understood. The Jewish Hour has a website, as part of a website, and we have a donations page. People make donations, in my opinion, not enough. So all those people listening should go now to the computer and make a donation to the Jewish Hour. We are listener-supported radio.
Right.
Somebody who is not Jewish decides on a Saturday afternoon, oh, yeah, we got the Jewish Hour. Let's go make a payment to them. So they go to the website. The website then immediately, since they hit donation page, they're immediately switched to PayPal. And then they make the donation, and then PayPal sends me a notification saying that so-and-so has made a donation to the Jewish Hour. Have I violated the Shabbos because somebody did that, Rabbi Kushner?
So you for sure haven't violated it yet. Because if someone pays you, if someone just gave you money, that you haven't violated it yet. But let me just give a little of a background to your question, because people might not be familiar with where you're going. There's a concept called Schar Shabbos. And Schar Shabbos means profiting from Shabbos, which means profits and revenues that were created on Shabbos, that were kind of received on Shabbos, is not allowed to be retained. You're not allowed to hold that money. Because I don't want to, you know, bore everyone with the technicalities, but that's the law. The law is one is not allowed to receive profits on Shabbos, and there are exceptions, and there are a lot of rules on this, and there's no way we can cram this into this interview. But that's the premise of your question. And so your question is, people go on to your website, and then you receive donations for Shabbos. Are you allowed to receive that? Now, when you ask PayPal, you're asking specifically PayPal as opposed to a credit card? Let me just clarify that.
Well,
that's just the way it works.
I just have PayPal.
You just have PayPal. Because it would actually be a lot better if it was a credit card. Credit cards take a few days to come in.
Well, that would just back the question back up to Wednesday or Thursday then.
So, No, because Shabbos, actually, nothing's processed. It would come in on Monday.
Uh-huh. Okay, fair enough.
You would probably be in the clear if it was... So you actually stumbled on a good one, where if it would be a credit card, I would have had an easier time answering you. With PayPal, it's a tough one. It is a tough one. Now, the only question to you is as follows. Do you see... Is there like a middleman that, like, is it going straight to you, or is it kind of you receive them in bulk, like once a week? How does that
actually I get an alert from PayPal that so-and-so has made a donation. At that point, what I have to do is if I want to do anything with it, well, there's one or two things I could do. Either I could buy something using my PayPal account, or I could request the money be transferred to a bank account. Which is generally what happens to go to pay the.
That's where I was going. I really don't want to get very technical, but generally speaking, PayPal is holding your money. Okay, and when we say that means it's actually technically not your money yet. When money in your account is your money, even though it's kind of the bank, but that's backed by the federal government, and that is your money. PayPal is actually not a bank. They're not legally a bank. And so what they are is someone else. They're a third party. And someone basically has, when we break it down, and this is really the whole, this is really, if you go through the book, this is where, you know, things get interesting because we have to really break it down into how the Torah looks at it. And the way the Torah looks at it is as if you, Rabbi Finman, have someone else, a third party who received money that he is going to give to you. Okay? Now, there's a basic concept, like we said, of Schar Shabbos, that you can't receive profits from Shabbos. But that is only if the profits that you get is only for Shabbos. So let's say you have a tenant that gives you money for the whole month, pays you for the month. Now, it's obviously 30 days. Some of those days are Shabbos. That's not prohibited because that's not money that we look at as Shabbos money. That's general money. Now, in there, it kind of is some of the money is Shabbos, but that is not prohibited. Prohibited is only... It would be an example is if you have a parking lot that you charge per hour. So a guy pulls in on Shabbos with his car, and he pays for 2 hours. Now, that payment that you got is only Shabbos money. Okay, that's the general background. Now, if PayPal receives a week's worth of money, and then they forward it to you, kind of you make a transfer to your bank account in one bulk, so there is the point when you receive the money. And since that's the case, it is, in a way, it's similar to you being a landlord and receiving a month's rent.
Understood.
Now, this is again, this is general. There might be problems because maybe if when we send you the money, they break it down how it is. Again, I'm trying to just being general and giving you an idea of we're trying to demonstrate how these questions are approached and what we try to do to break them down to way that you know the Torah, the Bible would see it, and then there would be a lot of times and people don't realize a lot of times. It's not prohibited, but you just have to know why. And if you know why, you'll also be on guard to know, you know, other cases where there might be a problem and what has to be done. And a lot of times it might be a little inconvenient, and sometimes not even a little inconvenient. But it's really all about awareness. You know, in general, I would be very hesitant, to give a book that has rulings, simply because every case is different. Every case is different, but there's always complexity.
There's always nuance. Yes, indeed.
There's always nuance. It's correct, but if you know principles and you understand the general underlying for these laws, you really are empowered. If you don't want to make rulings, maybe you shouldn't, but you're empowered to ask the right questions, and that's really what I think is probably most important about the book.
Okay, so now if you feel that I'm talking to the listening audience now, if you feel this is somewhat a little bit technical and involved, then you need to read the book. So that's why we're having this on, because there's things going on there that you might not even be aware of. And it's ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is just plain ignorance. Knowledge is power. So our guest has been Rabbi Yosef Kushner. The book is Commerce and Shabbos. It's from Feldheim Publishers. It's available on Amazon, wherever fine Jewish books are sold. It makes a great Hanukkah gift, by the way, if you know anybody who needs a Hanukkah gift. So, Yosef Kushner, I want to thank you very much for coming on, taking up some of your time, and enlightening us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Herschel Fidman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Before we get to our first piece of music, got a little some things happening over here out in the world. Hanukkah begins this coming Wednesday night, and there are public Hanukkah celebrations all over the place. Wednesday night is Southfield City Hall. This is at 5 o'clock. They'll be having the group Avi Schreiber and Pella, and that's they'll have jelly donuts and all kinds of stuff like that. That's absolutely free of charge. On Sunday, there's nothing happening Thursday night because that's Thanksgiving. Friday is not, and Shabbos is because it's Shabbos. Sunday at the JCC in West Bloomfield, Friends of Refugees of Eastern Europe, together with the JCC, have a Hanukkah concert. This is at 3 p.m. featuring the children's group M Generation Boys Choir. They're actually very good. We've played lots of their stuff in the past. It's a remarkable singing group. Tickets are $36. Seniors and children are $20. And you can get more information by calling the JCC at 661-1000. And so that brings us up then to Sunday night. There's a Hanukkah menorah at 5 o'clock at Shane Park in beautiful Birmingham. Oh, that's where Pella's going to be, I misrepresented myself. On Monday night, they're going to have a fire circus is the entertainment there. Avi Schreiber and Pella are going to be at Shane Park at 5 o'clock in Birmingham for the public menorah over there. On Monday night, you have a choice of two. You have the Chabad House of West Bloomfield will be having a public menorah lighting inside Orchard Mall. That's the corner of Orchard and Maple. They will be having all kinds of stuff over there, and their featured entertainment is the Kids Klez Ensemble. And that's also at 5. That's at 5:30. At 7 o'clock that very same night, Shalom Wayne Hillel and the Cohen Haddow Center, together with Wayne State University, will be having a public lighting in the middle of Wayne State University. That's where I will be, and they'll be featuring this entertainment will be the Wayne State Men's Glee Club. We'll be singing Hanukkah songs, and there'll be jelly donuts and give all kinds of giveaways. I don't know of anything happening on Tuesday, so you can, if your organization is doing something on Tuesday, you can still have time because I can announce it next week. On the last night of Hanukkah, which is Wednesday night, so you have the menorah in the D, and that's, I believe, at 5:30 in Campus Marshes. Let's see, I have it December 4th, 5:30 p.m. It's free, Campus Marshes, featuring a live performance of the group Eighth Day. And that's going to be the largest Hanukkah lighting in the city. That's a 24-foot menorah. The menorah I'm participating in is only 13 foot, so this kind of dwarfs that. And that's it. We also have, there's one more other community affair announcement. I'll just pull that up for next time. And in the meantime, let's get to the music. This that we have up for your listening pleasure is Hanukkah Gelt. This is a song by Woody Guthrie, and this is sung by the Klezmatics, and it's just for you.
Hey, Hanukkah, 1, 2, 3, Hanukkah, 4, 3, 2, the next we have you.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. Just a reminder, this is the penultimate week to buying Franklin Cider. They close next Sunday. And as the Finman children say, Franklin Cider is cider. Everything else is just juice. Okay, we have, let's see, I promised you a public service announcement. There's an organization called Kids All Together. This organization, Kids All Together, supports special needs inclusion in summer camps, raising awareness with a good laugh, Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. They're having a comedy night to help raise money to help get special needs kids into summer camp. And this is at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. And if you want more information, so then you should call them. Let's see where this is. Find a comedy evening will feature Joe DeVito. I suppose he's very funny. I don't know who he is. And tickets can be retrieved. Let's see. Call Paul Barker at 248-432-5538 or pbarker@jccdet.org for information. Is your organization having a something? Well, send that information off to www.rabbifinman.com, and we will announce it here. I promised a different form of music than the last form of music, so here it is. This is Schlock Rock doing My Menorah.
Chasita la botteno by Ami Mahe, Basmanaze, Basmanaze. Al you deco aneha, Al you deco aneha, Hakidoshim, Hakidoshim, Hakidoshim. My no rub, my no rub, my no rub, my no rub.
Yeah. ישועתי לחנה אל שבח תיקון בית תפילתי ושם תודה נסבח ליית תכין מטבח מצורם נבח אז אגמור בשיר מזמור חנוכת המזבח אז אגמור בשיר מזמור חנוכת המזבח
I say, happy Hanukkah, boy.
It's Hanukkah. I should be in Florida. Mom and Dad bought me socks again.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Shel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. The Maccabees, the gold standard in a cappella groups at this point, comes up every year with a Hanukkah song. This one is called Burn. But before we get to that, I have a little note on mine that you don't have, Ben. Sorry. We received from Koren Publishing the latest edition of the Steinsaltz Talmud, Masechta Yuma, which deals with Yom Kippur, the holiday of Yom Kippur. There is no Masechta. There's no part of the Talmud that specifically deals with the holiday of Hanukkah. Now, we'll discuss that some other time, not here. But this one discusses Yom Kippur. And it happens that I happen to be right now in the middle of learning this section of Talmud. And I am really very impressed with the way that the Koren Publishing handled this edition of Masechta Yuma, the section dealing with Yom Kippur. The graphics, the illumination, the insights makes it definitely a book worth buying. It's a continuation in the series, and I hope to continue to be reporting great things about Koren Publishing. Now, with no further ado, Mr. Ben, let's listen to the Maccabees and Burn.
Yeah, we got the fire.
Got the fire, and we burn it 8 nights of something. They're gonna see us from outer space. Light it up, they're burning bright for the human race. When the lights turn down, they don't know what they heard. Strike the match, play loud, give it love to the world. We'll be raising our hands, shining up. We got the fire, yeah, we got the fire, and we gonna let it burn. Flipping like a feather lighter. Music's on, I'm waking up. We stop the fire, then we burn it up. And it's over now. Wake up the love, because I'm sleeping now. And I'm sleeping now. Sleep when the lights turn down. They don't know what they heard. Strike the match, play it loud. Give it love to the world. We'll be raising our hands, shining up to the sky. Cause we got the fire. Yeah, we got the fire, and we gonna let it burn.
We can light it up, 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 so they can put it out, out, out. shining up to the sky.
Cause we got the fire, fire, fire. Yeah, we got the fire, fire, fire. And we gonna let it burn, 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 burn.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are in the portion of Miketz, which can be found in the book of Genesis. And that's in, I'm just pulling it up right now, chapter 42 and following. And it's also the holiday of Hanukkah is coming up. The portion of Miketz starts about, it really talks about Joseph's ascent to greatness. Now, there's a rule. Rule says that the portion of the week has to have some connection with the holiday, or the holiday has to have some kind of connection with the portion of the week. So Hanukkah falls out in the portion of Miketz, and it does that pretty much every single year. What's the deal between the connection between this idea of Joseph and ascending the throne and the holiday of Hanukkah? Well, I see it very clearly. The Maccabees, with this small army, the odds of them defeating the Greeks, very, very small. The odds of them being able to rededicate the temple in the fashion in which they did, very, very small. The odds of Joseph going from prisoned slave Jew boy to becoming the COO of the world's greatest superpower, pretty slim. And yet, it happened. And how does it happen? Because of our relationship to God. In both instances, we see that what was it? It was through direct divine involvement, which is alluded to by the number of days which we celebrate the holiday of Hanukkah. It's 8 days. 7 is normal. It's natural. Those are the days of the week. Those are the days that make sense. 8, what happens when you get to Saturday? It's not, the next day is not day 8. You go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The next day, if you look at your calendar, it's on the next line. It's a new week because there are only 7 days in the week. But the Jewish people have a special relationship with the Almighty. Our relationship is signified in 8. It's the reason why there's 8 days before a baby receives its circumcision, the 8 days of Hanukkah, the 8 days of the holiday of Sukkot, the Feast of the Tabernacles, why it took 8 days to consecrate the temple, which in itself didn't make any sense. What really doesn't make sense is that there are Jews in existence today. Given the history of the Jewish people the last 3,300 years, we should have gone the way of every other nation in Mesopotamia. But we haven't. And not only haven't the Jewish people disappeared, we've flourished. Speaking of flourishing, we have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com, www.rabbifinman. What will you find there? Archived editions of the show. You'll find editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story. You'll be able to contact me. I'll be able to contact you once you do that. And the very important donations page. We're the last end weekend of November already. We haven't paid November yet. They're very patient. We need your help. We need you to go right now and donate. Hanukkah is a very good time for giving money, specifically to charity. It's the end of the year, which is also a very good time for giving charity. It's to the Jewish Hour, which you're listening to. It's a very good cause to give to. Go do it right now. The Hasidic story, we do not have time for. And so what I've promised is that any week in which I did not say the Hasidic story, I will publish that Hasidic story in my E-Parsha. So if you want to see the story, you can go to the E-Parsha. It'll be published probably by Wednesday. Go to RabbiFinman.com, click on E-Parsha, or you can do yourself one step better. Go now to RabbiFinman.com, click on E-Parsha. In the second paragraph, there's a link that says sign up for the E-Parsha. You sign it up, and you get it automatically, and you'll have it. You'll be able to hear this dynamite story. That's going to do it for the week. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Happy Hanukkah. Enjoy it. We're having deep-fried turkey stuffed with latkes. No, that's just a joke. And we hope you have a great Hanukkah. We hope to see you again next week. Take care.
While we were having fun playing dreidel, smoke alarms were wailing everywhere. Firemen were breaking all the windows. Sadie closed his eyes, began to pray. Those latkes had no luck, our mouth been down and stuck, but Bobby made us eat them anyway.
Those were the nuts.
Hi, folks, this is Alan Thicke, and if you're one of those millions of Americans who owes back taxes, if you get nervous when the mail comes because you might get a letter from the IRS, then you...